Welcome everyone to the Dark Forest. Tonight we have something I've never done before. We have a banshee story, which I've never covered, and I'm really excited about tonight's story. When I think about the banshee, it reminds me of an episode from Are You Afraid of the Dark? Now, let's go ahead and dive in. I am an urban explorer along with a group of my friends, whose names I will be changing for the purpose of the story. As you can imagine, with the pandemic and lockdowns, we haven't gotten much to do during the past year. But after much waiting, finally, the time came when we could all get going once again. So one day, I found myself walking at the crack of dawn to the local train station. It was there I met up with George. George was the oldest out of the four of us. He also acted that way. He gave off an older brother kind of air of protectiveness, especially around me. He was trying to say something. I could tell that as much, but I couldn't figure out what it was. "I can't tell what you're saying with your face mask still on," I told him. Technically, we were all still required to wear masks, but people would rather lax with the new rule now. And George smiled as he lowered his. "I just wanted to say hi. It's been a while," George said. Then he paused. "How did your meeting with the doctor go?" I shrugged. "Nothing can be done, apparently. I met with another specialist last week and he said the same thing." "Oh, I'm sorry that it turned out like that," George said with a morose expression that lit up as soon as he saw someone approaching behind me. I turned around to see Jack. If George was the responsible older brother, then Jack was the mischievous younger one. He had been attempting to sneak up on me, but now that he had been caught, was trying to act normal. It wasn't working. Jack moved in front so I could see the both of them together. "A year later and you're still up to the same tricks," George said with a frown. "Hey, she could take a joke, can't she?" Jack said with a sheepish grin. "You know, with all that she's going through, do you really need to do something like that?" George asked. George was 2 inches taller than Jack. His black hair had streaks of white in it, a testament of how many more years of experience he had than the rest of us. All of it resulted in a very stern face, even when he wasn't trying to be serious. Jack's face was a lot more juvenile, but it withered under George's gaze. "Sorry about that," Jack said, apologizing to me. "It's no big deal," I told him. I kind of preferred it if he kept acting the same way around me as he did before. "So is Mary going to be late as usual?" Mary was the other girl in our group. She tended to arrive late as she was either sleeping in or putting on her makeup. She was mostly into exploring because she liked uploading pictures to her Instagram account and blogging about them. I found her to be pretty easy to get along with, even though she could tend to be a bit of a drama queen sometimes. Jack took the time to smoke a cigarette, which annoyed the two of us. "Sorry," Jack explained. He had quit 7 years ago. I got a bit stressed out with everything, and before I knew it, I started smoking again. Yeah, real stupid, I know, but I've been trying to quit. It's been hard, though. Mary arrived 15 minutes later, barely in time for us to catch the train. She had strawberry blonde hair and was quite pretty, explaining her Instagram popularity. She was dressed a bit lavishly for what we were doing, probably hoping to look good in the pictures she'd take, but it was nothing too impractical for what we were doing. She made some excuse about traffic, but we all knew there wasn't any, so we just rolled our eyes when she wasn't looking. The train ride was really fun. While I tried to stay in touch with everyone even during the pandemic by going online, but it just wasn't the same, especially given how poor the video quality is on Zoom. It lasted a whole 3 hours. Mary fell asleep on the way, and Jack tried scribbling on her face with a permanent marker. He tried, in the case that Mary woke up and sneezed all over him, which definitely made everyone else laugh as Jack freaked out. In case you were wondering, Mary wasn't sick or anything. It was just her allergies acting up. We got off, but there was an hour-long hike ahead of us after this. We could have rented a car or a taxi, but George wanted to stretch his legs. And I couldn't blame him, given how he must have felt cooped up after all this time. Mary was a bit less keen to walk the whole way, but readily agreed when she realized she could take a bunch of pictures of the surrounding countryside, which would have been a lot harder to do while riding in some vehicle. George took a look at the sun and said, "Let's try to wrap this up before sunset." He was probably saying this for my sake, but I reassured him that I had a flashlight even if it got dark. The place we were going was an abandoned farmhouse. Part of it had collapsed, but Jack told us that it was safe. That wasn't much of a reassurance, and neither was the story that Jack told us about the place. So yeah, the story goes that a family who lived there all died mysteriously one day, he said. And then a few years later, the family who bought it afterwards also died within a week of each other. Then there is this story of the two men who went miss... Knock it off, Jack, George said. Jack kind of had a habit of telling us that nearly every single place that we explored was haunted, usually just to freak Mary out. But he swore that this time it was real and he wasn't making it up. We spent more time wandering around the farm, and I had to say it was quite beautiful. With our outdoor exploring done and the sun rapidly descending, we then decided to actually go inside. There was nothing overly creepy about the place, I guess aside from what our minds invented. As it began to get dark, Mary made sure to get as many selfies as she thought she needed. George made sure that we didn't wander anywhere that could have been dangerous as always, while Jack goofed off just like he usually did. I mostly spent my time watching the others. I was just happy we could all hang out like this like old times. I think it's time to go then, George said. We would be running out of daylight any minute now. We turned to leave, but as we did, I saw Jack fall to the floor out of the corner of my eye. I turned towards him and saw that he was saying something as he writhed on the ground. Jack, this isn't funny, George said. However, I didn't think that Jack was faking. I knelt down by him and realized that he was saying, "The song." It was then that the same thing happened to Mary. She fell to the floor and began writhing almost as if she was having a seizure. She kept saying something, but it was difficult to make out. All I could understand was, "The song," over and over again. It was then that I saw it. Right there by the entrance was a pale figure. I thought it was a woman based on the jet black hair that fell to her waist. Her hair covered most of her face and she was dressed in a milk white robe. George turned his head so I was looking at him instead of her and said, "Banshee." Banshee, the spirit of a woman whose wailing was an omen of death. "What do we do?" I asked. "We need to get out," George said as he went to go help Jack up. I did the same with Mary, and George was looking for an alternate exit with his eyes finding a nearby window. "There," he said. However, the moment he said so, the figure appeared right there in front of the window to block our escape. I could feel the floorboards vibrating underneath my feet due to what it was doing. Now, even George fell to the ground, crying and weeping. To see him, who was always the strongest and most responsible of us, in a state like this nearly made me panic, but something he said gave me strength. "You're the only one of us who could stand up to that thing." I looked at the banshee. I had no idea how to get rid of one, but I have heard that in general, evil entities and especially the undead hated fire. I took out Jack's lighter and lit a fallen piece of wood, gripping it by the hand, as I advanced towards the eternal creature. It had a sunken, rotting face, but I could make out that it was surprised by the fact that I was standing and not rolling on the floor like my friends. In response to this, Her mouth moved more rapidly, and the frequency at which the floorboards underneath me vibrated increased. I wouldn't let that stop me, though. I gripped the piece of burning wood and thrusted it at her, igniting a part of her hair. She caught fire as if she had been bathed in kerosene beforehand, and was immediately enveloped in flames. She disappeared after that, but not before ripping out a part of the wall. I saw the roof cave in over me, and then there was blackness. I came to some time later with my head throbbing. It was night now, and the lights of the ambulance in the distance told me that some people had come to rescue us. Someone was standing above me, but I could only faintly make out their silhouette. He or she was saying something I couldn't make out. "Sorry, can you please turn on a light?" I told the person. "It's too dark to tell what you're saying." I realized what I was saying must have sounded insane, so I clarified what I said. "I had an accident a few years ago. I'm completely deaf in both ears. I am good at reading lips, though." Thankfully, everyone else survived with no more than a few minor injuries. The official story was that the place caved in, being it was so old, and none of us brought up to what we had seen to the authorities. None of us would have believed them. I found out later that the other members of my group began seeing images of death the moment that they heard the song, not only of themselves but of close family members and friends. This completely overwhelmed them and they were unable to do anything but listen to it. Not only that, but listening to the song was physically painful. Mary described it like having a migraine but 1,000 times worse, something she would be familiar with given that she had suffered with them earlier in her life. If they had listened to it for any longer, they all probably would have had something like an aneurysm and died. A banshee's wail is usually said to be an omen of death, but I think the one we ran into was far more malevolent. It didn't just want to foretell our deaths. It wanted to trap us and kill us right then and there. I don't know if by burning it I destroyed it, and that means that my friends are completely safe. But they seem to be perfectly fine for now, so I certainly hope. Don't take my word for it, though. I don't know if that will destroy a banshee if you ever happen to come across one. My hearing's still the same as always, but I'm less upset about that now. After all, if it weren't for that, none of us would have gotten out of there alive. But I'd certainly advise all of you to be careful, especially while exploring abandoned areas.
Let's have a song.